The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text Number 18, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami.
Jai Radha Madhava Punjabi Hare. Gopi jana bala bha jwala dhari. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Ravatanya brata sarasa chakravaka tatiwa hamsa shukatiri parinam yaha kolahalo viramate chira matra muche bringadi pehri katam eva gayamane Timanandasya gyananjana shalakya chakshun militanina tasma shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadam and dadati swapadantikam Bande Ham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamlan Shri Guru and Vaishnavanascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajayvam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Nitamsha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jai Dvaita Gadadhar Shivachadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Paravatanya brata sarasa chakravaka tatiwa hamsa shukatitiri parinam yaha kolahalo viramate chira matra muche bringadi pehri katam eva gayamane. So, as Prabhupada states in the first line in the purport, this verse reveals the absolute nature of the Vaikuntha. In this chapter, the kingdom of God is being described by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was explaining how his sons, the Kumaras, they have entered into the kingdom of God, and the characteristics of the kingdom of God are being explained. The characteristic of Vaikuntha Loka planet is that everything there is absolute. Further, there is no anxiety over there at all. This is another meaning of the word Vaikuntha. The word Vaikuntha means free of anxiety. And in comparison, the material planets are called the Kuntha Lokas, or a place full of anxiety. In a material planet, everyone then is an anxiety about birth, the disease, and old age. These are the different areas of anxiety. One is anxious that he may not fall sick. He is anxious that he may not get old. He is anxious that he may not die. But in the spiritual world, such anxiety does not exist, because no one dies over there. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Paras tasmatya bhavo nyo vyakto vyakta sanatana yasa sarvesha bhuteshu, that beyond this material world, there is another nature which is spiritual and is never annihilated. Anyone who goes over there never returns again to this material world. So, the description of the kingdom of God is being provided in order to attract the living entity in the human form of life to some superior platform that exists. The process of entering into the kingdom of God has also been explained by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma has explained that the Kumaras were able to enter into the Vaikuntha planets because they had freed themselves of all material contamination. So this is the price that you have to pay. Everything has a price tag. So similarly, entry into the kingdom of God also has a price tag. And the price tag is that one has to completely free himself of material contamination. As long as the material contamination is there, one cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is very clearly established in numerous places of the Vedic scriptures, including this chapter by Lord Brahma, that one can only enter into the kingdom of God or the Vaikuntha planets if he frees himself of the material contamination. Prabhupada explains that just like if one wishes to travel to a distant place, he has to purchase a ticket to travel to that distant place. But the curiosity to travel to that distant place is obtained by reading literature. Many in India may have not been to America or Australia, but the curiosity to go into those countries is aroused by the reading of literature. So similarly, one gets information about the spiritual abode of the Lord through the Vedic scriptures. But just like if one wants to make a trip overseas, he has to pay the price tag. What is the price tag? He has to be able to afford to pay the ticket. If he can't afford to pay the ticket to travel to America, he can't go there. So similarly, one has to pay the ticket to go to the kingdom of God. That, and the ticket is the termination of material desires, the termination of material contamination. So the information is there about the kingdom of God. The process of devotional service is complete. It is not that the devotees do not know the identity of the Supreme Lord. It is not that the devotees do not know how the Supreme Lord looks. It is not that the devotees do not know where the Lord resides. And it is also that the devotees do not know the means of entering into the spiritual planet. The means of entering into the spiritual planet is also clearly explained in the Vedic scriptures. So in the spiritual planets, everyone is engaged in only one mission. Everyone's first priority and last priority is the glorification of the Supreme Lord. In the mature world, the living entity's priority tends to be towards sense gratification. And glorification of the Supreme Lord appears to be on the bottom of the list of assignments to be fulfilled. But in the spiritual world, all the inhabitants have only one concern. Their first priority is the glorification of the Supreme Lord. Whether it's the trees or the different birds or the other devotees, they're all engaged in just glorifying the Supreme Lord. This is their first priority. This is their only concern. How can the Lord be glorified? It is explained that in the Vaikuntha planets, the men are far more handsome than the men on this planet. Just like even within this planet, you can see that different people in different countries have different features. And the people of some countries are prone to be more handsome than people of other countries. So in these Vaikuntha planets, it is explained that the inhabitants are all very, very handsome. The men are very handsome and the women are very beautiful. And still, they are not attracted to each other's beauty at all. Both the handsome men and the beautiful women only have one concern: the glorification of the Supreme Lord. This is their only concern. So, because everyone is engaged in glorifying the Lord, everything over there is absolute. And one who goes to the spiritual abode, the Lord explains, never desires to return to this material world. So this information of the kingdom of God is there in order to remind us that this material world where one is residing is neither one's permanent residence nor is it a source of happiness. As Krishna says, there is misery, and further, that everything is temporary. So there is misery, and the real bliss can only be obtained if some or the other one understands the importance of devotional service. Otherwise, as Prahlad Maharaj says, punas punas charvata charvanana. That is what the materialist is doing. One is just chewing the chute. So the process of devotional service is the process by which one can enter into the kingdom of God. Rupa Goswami has said, quoting from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that whatever price one may have to pay, one should be willing to pay in order to become perfect on the path of devotional service. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Mahavita Mati Kriyatam Yadi Ktopi Labhate. Whatever price that one needs to pay, one should be willing to pay. So the price that one needs to pay is the termination of material contamination. So the process of devotional service is pure. And purity means that there's no place for impurities. And the process of devotional service is so potent that if one engages on this path, the impure desires, the impure habits can all be checked. The sinful activities can only be checked if there is a superior alternative. But if the superior alternative is not presented, then the sinful tendencies cannot be checked. So the process of devotional service presents the platform upon which one can cure the sinful tendencies. Just like with fire. With fire, you can destroy something impure. Therefore, the doctors, even before they give you an injection, they sterilize the injection, isn't it? To destroy all the impurities. So similarly, the impurities or material desires can be checked with the process of devotional service. The process of devotional service creates the fire that enables one to correct the impurities. But if while executing the process of devotional service, one is maintaining material desires at the same time, then the development of love of God, which is the result of the execution of devotional practices, will not be experienced. Just like a farmer may use the best chemicals, and he may have the best soil, so he may plant the best seeds. But if there's crop disease in that area, then the crops will not grow, isn't it? You can have the best soil, you can have the best fertilizers, and you can also have perfect monsoon. But if you do not have, if you have crop diseases, then the crops will not grow. So similarly, this crop disease is compared to the maintenance of material desires. The process of devotional service is perfect. It is outlined by the great acharyas. It is presented by the personality of Godhead, who is the jewel, who is the chief, who is the cause of this entire creation. So the process is not lacking in anything. But if you are maintaining material desires, then the development of love of God will not be realized. And if that is not realized, then one will be infected by the duality of the mind. What is the duality of the mind? The duality of the mind consists of two different problems or stages. One is the stage of hankering, the other is the stage of lamenting. The mind is hankering for sense gratification, and on the other hand, the mind is lamenting for what it has left behind. When one comes to devotional service, one has to give up sense gratification. So when you come to devotional service, due to the duality of the mind is lamenting at what it has been forced to leave behind. And the other aspect of this duality is that the mind is hankering for what it sees others are trying to enjoy, and it is being prevented to enjoy. So the Bhagavatam explains that one has to free himself from the duality of the mind. And one can only free himself from the duality of the mind if the mind is absorbed on the path of pure devotional service. Otherwise, to control the mind is very difficult. Therefore, we also see impersonalists and the yogis who try to control the mind, but after some time they get frustrated and they return to materialistic activities because the mind cannot be satisfied by any other means but the absorption in the process of devotional service. So the material desires that one may have to be placed at the lotus feet of the Lord. And when material desires are placed at the lotus feet of the Lord, they become spiritualized. And when the desires are spiritualized, then one is just experiencing spiritual bliss. And the result of this experience is going to be that one will not have any hankering for sense gratification at all. So, the process of the devotional service is provided by the causeless mercy of the Lord. It is causeless. By the causeless mercy of the Lord and the bona fide spiritual master, one is injected with the seed of devotional service. Brahmanda brahmite kuno bhagavanuji guru krishna kripa pai bhakti lata bheet. This seed is planted after many, many thousands of births and deaths. Now, after the seed is planted, one commences the path of devotional service. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that even if one executes devotional service perfectly for 1,000 births, still he cannot repay the debt to the Lord for having planted the seed of devotional service. Just imagine, just meditate on this point, that even if one executes devotional service for 1,000 births on this planet, still Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that you cannot repay the debt to the Lord for having planted the seed of devotional service. So what this means is that whatever service we are executing is so insignificant. Sometimes there's a danger that one executes a little bit of success, a service and has some success, and he falsely becomes proud and thinks that he's done so much for the Lord. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that even if you execute devotional service for 1,000 births, still you cannot repay the debt of that one owes to the Lord. So the key point in understanding approach to devotional services, the importance of humility, the importance of understanding that our service is totally insignificant. And everyone who is chanting Hare Krishna, he should be respected. One who chants Hare Krishna is definitely very dear to the Lord. One who chants Hare Krishna is definitely elevated. But the spiritual aspect of this elevation is that though he is elevated, he considers himself to be the most fallen. But nevertheless, one who understands the process of Krishna consciousness is anxious to offer his respects to anybody who chants Hare Krishna. There is a very nice encounter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita to illustrate this point. There was a devotee of the Lord called Shivananda Sen. He had a dog, and Shivananda Sen was very attached to this dog. So this dog was given some, this dog was deprived of his food one day, and the dog went on wandering, and eventually he came near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him some prasadam, some coconut pulp. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, chant Hare Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he told the dog to chant Hare Krishna, the dog chanted Hare Krishna. And Shivananda Sen then offered his obeisances to this dog because this dog chanted Hare Krishna. And because he, due to his mistake, the dog wasn't given food at one time. So because this dog chanted Hare Krishna, Shivananda Sen offered obeisances to his own dog. So you can say the position of the Vaishnava. Anyone who chants Hare Krishna is actually very dear to Krishna. They may be so many faults and shortcomings. But nevertheless, one who chants Hare Krishna is very, very dear to Krishna. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized, Trinadapi Sunni Chena Tarura Pi Saishnu Namani Namadina Ketanadi Sadahari. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see how the devotee of the Lord, he had this verse of the Sikshashtaka hung around his neck. Why did he hang this Sikshashtaka sloka around his neck? Because he wanted to remind himself at every stage the importance of humility. If one is humble in the approach of devotional service, then the causeless mercy of the Lord will fall. And if one is not humble, if one doesn't cherish the special mercy of the Lord in having given this process of devotional service, then one will not be able to develop genuine love of God. We are in this process, on this path, to develop genuine love of God. And this genuine love of God can only be developed if one chants the holy name in a humble frame of mind, and more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. One thinks himself lower to be than a blade of grass. So Prabhupada explains how the tree is so tolerant. The tree is tolerant from two angles. On the one hand, the tree is being destroyed, is being cut, but still the tree does not protest. On the other hand, the tree is drying up due to lack of water. Still the tree does not protest. So just like the tree is tolerant from these two angles, the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that one who is chanting Hare Krishna should also be humble, tolerant from these two angles. Somebody, just like the tree, is being chopped. So in the execution of devotional service, there is chastisement, correction, guidance. But the sincere candidate does not protest. And the tree is drying up. On the other hand, when one is executing devotional service, one may not get exactly what one wants, but still, the enthusiasm should not fluctuate. Just like one does not like the fluctuation in weather. When you have a nice day, you don't want that nice day to ever end, isn't it? You want that nice day to remain. You don't want it to get too cold and you don't want it to get too hot. Everyone likes to avoid the fluctuation in weather. When your body temperature is normal, you don't want to see any fluctuation so that the temperature may get high, isn't it? So just like we do not desire to see the fluctuation in weather or the fluctuation in bodily temperature, similarly, in executing devotional service, we should avoid the fluctuation. The process of devotional service does not mean that there's fluctuation every day. One day when you get exactly what you want, you're jubilant and enthusiastic. And the other day, if you do not get what you want, then you're morose and sorrow. This fluctuation in devotional service must be avoided. And if this fluctuation in devotional service is avoided, then one will be able to gallop back to Godhead. In the Bhagavatam, it is explained how the material desires are always coming like the strong wind. Just like if you're sitting on a horse, on a saddle, and if you're not holding onto the reins of the horse, and it's very windy, then what is going to happen? You're going to be thrown off the saddle, isn't it? So similarly, while we are on the saddle, galloping back to Godhead, the material winds are also blowing very hot, strong. Do not think that because you're sitting on the saddle, galloping back to Godhead, the material winds will not blow. The material winds, in the form of material desires, are also blowing against us. But if we do not hold on the reins of that horse firmly, then you'll be thrown off the saddle. Some of you may have seen pictures of people who are horse racing. When they're horse racing, because the horse is speeding, they're holding on to the reins so firmly that it almost appears that their head is touching the horse, isn't it? Because they don't want to be thrown off the horse, because the horse is galloping at a fast speed. So similarly, if you don't want to be thrown off the saddle of devotional service, you have to hold on to the reins in the form of spiritual instructions. And you have to hold on to these spiritual instructions as they are dear to your heart. Just like when you get something that's dear to you, you bring it close to your heart, isn't it? When the mother sees a child after a long time, she runs and embraces the child and rubs the child against the heart, isn't it? You only rub against the heart something that you really like. Something that you don't like, you don't rub it near the heart, isn't it? You keep it at a distance. So similarly, we have to rub the spiritual instructions to the heart. We have to keep these spiritual instructions in the forefront of our mind. And if you're rubbing these spiritual instructions to the heart, if you're being loyal to these spiritual instructions, only then can you prevent being tossed off the horse. Otherwise, there is a good chance that if you're not holding on to these spiritual instructions firmly, you're going to be thrown off the saddle. The Bhagavatam explains how the living entity is caught in the material ocean. This is exactly what this material world is, a turbulent ocean where there's so many sharks, fishes, snakes that are all biting you. But if one is caught in the middle of the ocean, how can he be rescued? He can either be rescued if somebody comes through a helicopter and lifts him out, or if he swims to the bank. Now let's assume there's no helicopter to rescue. Then the only alternative is to swim to the bank, isn't it? But then as you're swimming to the bank, the water is running very swift on the bank. So the water on the bank is running very, very swiftly. So when the water is running very swiftly, and if you do not hit your strokes right, then the swift running of the water will push you right back to the middle of the ocean. So that is exactly what happens when you take to the bank of devotional service. When you come to the process of devotional service, Maya intensifies its attack. But if you do not take advantage of the process completely, if you do not hit your strokes right, then you can be pushed back in the middle of the ocean. The bank has been described by the Bhagavatam to be the path of knowledge. When you're caught in the middle of the ocean, you have to swim to the path of knowledge. But then as you're approaching this path of knowledge, the material desires, which are like the swift running of water on the bank, are very intense. But if you're determined, then you can overcome the effect of the swift running of water. So when you approach the bank of knowledge enables one to practice austerity. You cannot practice austerity in spiritual life unless one is equipped with the spiritual knowledge. So it is important that one be equipped with the spiritual knowledge so that one can practice spiritual austerity. And if one cannot practice spiritual austerity, if he does not have the spiritual knowledge, you can only succeed on the path of devotional service if you're equipped with the spiritual knowledge. And if you're equipped with the spiritual knowledge, then you can overcome the greatest of adversities. Just like the Pandavas, they had to undergo so many austerities. Yudhishthira Maharaj was not installed on the throne without the Pandavas having to undergo a series of obstacles and difficulties, isn't it? So similarly, in order to establish the principles of religion, Yudhishthira Maharaj was installed on the throne to establish the principles of religion. So similarly, the present day devotees of the Krishna conscious movement, they're also endeavoring to establish Yudhishthira Maharaj on the throne. We are endeavoring to establish Yudhishthira Maharaj on the throne by trying to establish the principles of religion. But if we have to undergo inconveniences for this, one should not be hesitant. One obtains his strength to overcome inconveniences, to overcome the turbulent mind, by virtue of firm faith in the process of devotional service. So our faith in the process of devotional service must be uncompromising, unflinching. It should not deviate at all. Srila Swami explains that the process of devotional service is so perfect that even if you run on this path with both your eyes closed, you will never fall. Normally, if you run with your eyes closed, or even if you walk with your eyes closed, you will fall. But it is explained that even if you run on this path with both your eyes closed, you cannot fall. Anyone who executes devotional service, that service never goes in vain. So with faith, one has to execute the process of devotional service. And if we execute this process of devotional service without any fluctuations, then the spiritual effulgence that is there in the personality of Godhead will also radiate in us. The Lord has innumerable characteristics, some of which are that is eternal knowledge, full of knowledge and blissful. So the blissful aspect of the Lord's personality gets reflected in the devotee's personality also. Just like when the dome is made of gold and silver, the reflection of the sun can be seen on the dome, but he can't see the reflection of the sun everywhere. So similarly, the reflection of the Lord's personality, the blissful aspect of his personality, is visible if one takes to the process of devotional service. The human entity has the capacity to reflect the true happiness, which can only be obtained by the process of devotional service. So we have to take to this path of devotional service very, very seriously. If we take to this process of devotional service very, very seriously, then one can make spiritual advancement. But if we have a casual approach to this process of devotional service, then the spiritual advancement will not be rapid. The spiritual advancement at best may be at the speed of a goods train. You know how frustrating it is when you see a goods train going and you have to cross the level crossing. It's like, it's very frustrating, isn't it? But that's because nobody likes to be slow. When you're hungry and you're waiting for prasadam, and if somebody tells you the prasadam is going to come in 2 hours, you feel so frustrated. When it comes to the pleasure of our senses, we want speed. So why don't you want speed when it comes to the execution of devotional service? Even when it comes to the execution of devotional service, one should want speed. So we have to be serious in the execution of devotional service. Today is the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it is important at this point that we meditate on the desires and the goals and the philosophy which Bhakti Siddhanta ji advocated. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of our movement. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, from his very beginning, his birth was very auspicious. Thakur Bhakti Vinod had prayed, just like Advaita Acharya had prayed, that please may the Lord descend so that the irregularities in religion and society can be checked. Similarly, Thakur Bhakti Vinod had prayed that please may the Lord send somebody who can help him expand Krishna consciousness. And in response to the prayers of Thakur Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the mercy incarnation of Radharani, appeared on this planet. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, from the very beginning, Thakur Bhakti Vinod knew that all the symptoms are very auspicious, they're very spiritual. Once when the Rathyatra cart was passing in front of Thakur Bhakti Vinod's house, Thakur Bhakti Vinod was a magistrate. And in that position, he was also given the responsibility by the British government of overseeing the Jagannath Puri temple. So because of his privileged position, the Rathyatra cart stopped in front of his house. And when the cart stopped in front of his house, Bhakti Siddhanta ji's mother took the opportunity to place the child at the feet of the Lord. And when she placed the child at the feet of the Lord, a garland fell from the Lord on the child's head. And Thakur Bhakti Vinod knew that this child was not ordinary. Even when he was born like the umbilical cord wrapped around his body, just like a Brahmin thread. So Thakur Bhakti Vinod gave Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati very special training. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when the time came for his initiation, Thakur Bhakti Vinod did not initiate him. Thakur Bhakti Vinod instructed him to go and accept initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, in contrast to Bhakti Siddhanta ji's knowledge, was the opposite. He was totally, he wasn't educated at all by material standards. But he was spiritually educated. By material standards, he could not even read and write his name. But by spiritual standards, he was firmly addicted to the holy name. He used to chant the holy name sitting next to public latrines. Nobody likes going next to a filthy place, isn't it? So Bhakti Gorkishwardas Babaji was set next to public latrines so that nobody would come and bother him, so that he could just go on chanting the holy name. And he also knew the whole Bhagavad Gita. So when Bhakti Siddhanta ji approached him, Bhakti Siddhanta ji was very learned, the greatest scholar of his time. So when he approached him and said, "Please initiate me," he said, "What? I can't initiate you. You're so educated. You're making a fool of me." But then Bhakti Vinod insisted that he should be initiated only by Gorkishwardas Babaji. And then ultimately, Bhakti Siddhanta ji said that, "I'm going to commit suicide if you do not initiate me." And only then he was initiated. So from this we can see that the qualification of a spiritual master does not have to be material, but it has to be firm addiction to the holy name and to the process of devotional service. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati preached very vigorously. He also established that one does not become a Brahmin on the basis of birth. One becomes a Brahmin on the basis of qualification. Chatur Vannam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Saha. Chatur Vannam Guna. Guna means qualification, according to qualification. Those who hold the view that just because I'm born in a Brahminical family or born in a particular culture and hence I am perfect on the path of self-realization are under illusion. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he was invited to lecture at an assembly of Brahmanas. The so-called Brahmanas were claiming respect on the basis of birth. And they were engaging in activities which were totally un-Brahminical. A high court judge's son does not automatically become a high court judge. But should the high court judge's son possess the necessary qualification, then he also becomes eligible to be a high court judge. So the key factor is the development of qualification or the development of spiritual qualities or spiritual attributes. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in this assembly of Brahmanas, he started off by praising the importance of Brahmana. Brahmanas must be in society. The Brahmans are described to be the head of the society. You can have a body with an artificial hand or no hand or no leg. You can even have transplancy of the heart. But the head has to be there. If the head is not there, then the living entity is pronounced dead. So for a society to be happy, peaceful, there must be the Brahmanas or the head. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati started his lecture by talking about the importance of the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas felt very, very flattered. But then, quoting from the scriptures, he pointed out how the Brahmana has to be qualified. Anyone is not qualified, then he cannot be called a Brahmana. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's preaching was so intense that the Brahmanas got so offended that they conspired to kill him. Once a police officer came and told Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, "You please be careful. We have heard that some people are planning to kill you." The police officer was frank to say that normally we take bribes, but for saintly people we don't take bribes. So we are not taking any bribe, but we are just tipping you off that they are planning to kill you. But still Bhakti Siddhanta ji did not compromise. Bhakti Siddhanta ji wrote volumes of books. He started the newspaper. And he would send his disciples out to go and distribute these newspapers. And Prabhupada explains that my spiritual master would be so pleased when the disciples would come back just distributing papers worth 1 paisa, 2 paisa. He would be very pleased. It was Bhakti Siddhanta ji who emphasized the importance of book printing. It was he who emphasized the importance of book distribution. He once drew the picture of a mridanga and he showed it to Prabhupada and said, "This book printing and book distribution is the Brihad Mridanga. The sound can be heard as far as thousands of miles." So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati established the Gaudiya Math Institution. He wrote volumes of books. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati established how one can use everything in the service of the Lord. This is the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means learning how to use everything in the service of the Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was the first great spiritual master who started traveling in vehicles. Prior to him, nobody would travel in cars. So he started traveling in vehicles. He started using the modern amenities to serve the Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in his commentary on the Bhagavatam says how the materialists do all the research for their sense gratificatory ends, and the devotees use all the research to offer it to the Lord. Just like the materialists, they've done all the research and they've come up with a video. They haven't come up with a video so the devotees of the Krishna conscious movement can show spiritual movies. They came up with a video so that sense gratification can be facilitated. But the devotees are using all this research in offering it to God and only showing movies related to Krishna. So, Yukta Vairagya, that is the path of genuine renunciation. Genuine renunciation means where you use everything to serve the Krishna, and everyone that you see how can you engage that person in service to Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example that a lusty man, whichever woman he looks at, he just thinks, how can I make love with this woman? And a greedy man, whenever he meets somebody, he thinks, how can I make some money out of the next person, isn't it? If you meet a greedy man, he's just thinking, how can he make a buck out of you? But a devotee is always thinking, how can he engage everyone in service to Krishna? So a lusty man is thinking in a particular way, a greedy man is thinking in a particular way. And the devotee is thinking, how can I use everyone in service to Krishna? How can I offer everything in service to Krishna? So on this auspicious day, which is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, all the devotees should pray to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to please give us his causeless mercy so that we can make spiritual advancement. Krishna Das Kaviraj says that I am so weak, I am slipping, but by the mercy of the sadhu, I will hold on to the stick of the sadhu and I can make spiritual advancement. So the process of spiritual advancement is to hold on to the stick of the sadhu, to hold on to the instructions of the sadhu. And if you hold on to the stick of the merciful spiritual personality, then only you can make spiritual advancement. Otherwise, as Krishna Kaviraj says, one is always slipping. So that is our position, we are always slipping. You take one step forward and then you get pushed back by the slope and you slip back. But if you hold on to the stick of the merciful saintly personality, then we can reach our destination. Just like when you want to climb something uphill, then somebody goes ahead of you, he holds your hand, and then you take the next step, isn't it? Then again you hold the next person in his hand, and again you take the next step. So that is exactly what we have to do in spiritual life. Have somebody else hold our hand and to help pull us from our position of ignorance to the position of enlightenment. So, on this auspicious day, we should all pray to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to please give us his mercy so that we can destroy our material desires, the anarthas, we can completely burn them to the crisp. Just like when you have garbage, isn't it? You want to tear the letter apart into small pieces. So that is exactly what we should do with our material desires. You should take them and tear them apart to such invisible pieces that there's no way you can piece them together. And if that is the goal, then you will enjoy the spiritual bliss. So in spiritual life, there is no room for material desires. Let there be no confusion in anyone's mind that you can have Krishna and Maya at the same time. You can't have. You'll have Krishna for some time, but after that, sometime even that Krishna will be pulled out of your life. If you want to have Krishna till the end of your life, ante Narayan Smriti, then please take these material desires and tear them apart to invisible pieces so they can never be pieced together. And then you can experience spiritual bliss. So on an auspicious day like this, we should all pray to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to please bless us with his causeless mercy so that we can make spiritual advancement. Prabhupada in one lecture said that the grandfather is even more kind than the father. So he is the grandfather of some of us and the great-grandfather of some of us. So we should pray to our grandfather and great-grandfather to please bless us so we can go back to Godhead at the end of this life. And this explanation of the kingdom of God is just perfect. We know what the kingdom of God is, we know what the mood is over there, and we know what the qualification is. There's no confusion. And everything is clear, just like if you want a ticket to America, there's no confusion, you know what the price tag is. So the price tag for entry into the kingdom of God is clearly explained. All we have to do is develop the determination to pay for this price tag and then go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna.